You are Locked On Pac-12, your daily podcast on the Pac-12 Conference. It's the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Friday, we're back with another episode of Locked On Pac-12 to kick off your weekend. There's no better place to get all of your Pac-12 conference news than the Locked On Pac-12 podcast, hosted by your girl, Cindy Robinson. So make sure you follow the Locked On Pac-12 podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm your host, Cindy Robinson, and I'm bringing you the latest on the Conference of Champions. Today, I'm riding solo, so we're going to keep it short and sweet with some Pac-12 at the Olympics updates and discussing the NCAA gender equity review. First, I want to take a moment to send my condolences to the family, friends, and former players of Coach June Doherty, who passed away on Monday, August 2nd. She was actually the women's basketball head coach at Washington State while I was a student athlete there. Although my interactions with her were very limited, I remember my friends on the team being very fond of her as a coach. And it's clear that she was truly respected, especially within the conference. Pac-12 released a statement saying June Doherty was a shining light in the Pac-12 for more than two decades and had an incredibly deep and meaningful impact on student athletes at Washington State, Washington, and Stanford. Immensely positive and always kind, she brought a great deal of joy to all those whose lives she's touched. The Pac-12 joins all those who loved and adored June in mourning her passing, and we share our deepest condolences with Mike, Doc, Brianne, and her entire family. She will be deeply missed. So for those of you who don't know, WSU, UW, and Stanford also tweeted to send their condolences, as she had ties to all three universities. For those of you that, like I was saying, that may be unfamiliar with Coach Doherty's ties to the Pac-12 entirely, she was an assistant coach for the Stanford women's basketball team, head coach for UW's women's team for 11 years, and Washington State's women's team for 11 years as well. So women's head coaches all around Pac-12 had great things to say about her and her impact on the conference. Stanford's Tara Vanderveer said, from playing against her in college to coaching both with her and against her, I've known and admired June for decades. Her positive and upbeat attitude was infectious, and I'm heartbroken she is no longer with us. We will all miss her greatly. Other coaches in the Pac-12 amongst the women's college basketball scene had great things to say about Coach Doherty. UCLA coach Corey Close recalled Doherty as kind. She just said she was a really, really good human. And then Arizona State coach Charlie Turner Thorne said she had the honor to be coached by June and coach alongside of her for almost 20 years. And while she was obviously an outstanding coach who won many games, more importantly, she was fun, loving, and a visionary leader and mentor who has made countless players and peers' lives better. SC's coach Lindsey Gottlieb said Doherty took the time to be her mentor and took time to mentor young coaches. Gottlieb says she benefited from the time and effort she spent to lend her the advice, and her influence on the Pac-12 conference was vast, and she will be missed very, very much. And so it's, like I said, it's very clear that she is leaving a lasting impact on the Pac-12, her former players, other coaches in this league, in this conference. She's survived by her husband, Mike, and children, Doc and Brianne, and she'll be greatly missed among the Pac-12 and women's college basketball. Coming up next, I will discuss more about, you know, what's going on with NCAA and women's basketball and just women's sports in general. But before I get into that, let me let you in on a little bit of a, I won't say a secret, it's not a secret because it's kind of out there already, but let me let you know about Built Bar. If you're looking for the best tasting protein bar out there, Built Bar is the one for you. Built Bar comes in 9 delicious flavors, a little something for everybody, from coconut to coconut almond. If you're more into the fruity flavors, they have cherry and raspberry. And then obviously for our chocolate lovers, they have mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, and salted caramel. Literally something for everyone. I'm more of a salted caramel type. The best part about Built Bar is that it's healthy. That's right, tasty and healthy. Each bar has about 17 to 18 grams of protein, low in calories, low in sugar, and low in carbs. That's 9 amazing flavors, all tasty, all healthy. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your first order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Okay, so today we're pretty much keeping the focus on women's sports, in the NCAA, Pac-12, all of that focus. Now, I'm going to flash back to March Madness, NCAA tournament. The women played in San Antonio and, you know, they get to their facilities and realize that a lot of the things available to them are not up to standard, not up to their standard that they would have at their schools, and not up to the standard of what the men were dealing with at their tournament. So that sparked, and I'm sure you've seen it, it was a viral video that went around that was posted by one of the Oregon players showing that, you know, the weight room was inadequate. They had like a set of weights, that's it. Food was bad. The gifts that they were gifted as being, you know, making it that far to the NCAA tournament did not measure up to what the men were gifted. And so that sparked a NCAA gender equity report that was released this week. And it just was clear that the NCAA prioritized men's basketball over everything else in ways that create, normalize, and perpetuate gender inequities, according to a report published on Tuesday this week. So that's what the report said. And from there, it's been, I'd say, a slew of reporting about that report. And, you know, there's been statements from the NCAA about how they're planning to address it. As far as the Pac-12 goes, the way they decided to address it was with a statement, and that said, the Pac-12 strongly supports gender and gender equity in college sports, and our universities and student athletes have long been champions of gender equity. We are reviewing the recommendations made by the independent law firm that conducted the NCAA gender equity review and look forward to supporting the implementation of recommendations that advance the goal of equity. So first, I'm going to speak as a former student athlete. Pac-12, went to Washington State, and because I ran track, it's a little different. I'll say we pretty much had the same accommodations as the men because we pretty much were a unit. But that's not to say when it came to basketball, I definitely used to see differences, you know, in how the basketball teams were treated. Not necessarily the facilities that were provided for them by the school, because I definitely think Washington State did a great job of, you know, just making things available for both women and men. But I do think the NCAA overall has a lot of work to do, just from what we've seen from that NCAA tournament. I do think this has been, I would say in the last few years, the era of righting the wrongs when it comes to women in sports and giving women in sports more recognition that they deserve. And especially on that basketball front, starting from the WNBA and down. Someone who's been a pioneer for, one of the pioneers for equal rights for gender, sex, race, you know, sorry, gender, race, and et cetera, has been Lasia Clarendon, who we've talked about on this show before. I think it's interesting that it takes a report, and for even that video that went viral, for anything to change, it should have been clear that there was a discrepancy when they decided, like, this was what we were going to provide for the women. According to that report that was put out, the gender inequities at the NCAA, and specifically within the NCAA Division I basketball championships, stem from the structure and systems of the NCAA itself, which are designed to maximize the value of and support to the Division I men's basketball championship as the primary source of funding for the NCAA and its membership. I completely understand that you put the resources towards what makes the most money. I get it, right? But it doesn't seem fair that women and men are putting in the same work to, you know, be great athletes, be great students, and represent the NCAA, Pac-12, and individual conferences as well as they do. But because one is more popular than the other, they get better accommodations. And I just, that's not fair in the sense of the school system, right? So the investigation also found a broad census within the NCAA, and it's clear that it's time for the change. So they recommended, these are the recommendations that they recommended for NCAA and conferences to change, to provide equity amongst the men and the women. Make changes in leadership structure, staffing, and coordination of planning the men and women's tournaments. That's clear, because whoever was in charge of operations for the women's tournament did not care about what the women deserved, needed, whatever the case may be. Perform a real-time audit of both events annually, with results released to the public. Definitely fair, because if you have someone to answer to and you have to provide a full, you know, rundown of this is what we provided for the men and this is what we provided for the women, it'll hold you accountable to actually providing that fair structure for both of them. Overhaul marketing of the women's tournament, including selling it as a standalone property and using the trademarked March Madness term for both the men's and women's events. I definitely think that should be a given. It's all under the NCAA umbrella. I don't know why you wouldn't want to trademark it under March Madness. The women's tournament was very good this year. I think the more you give light to the women and what they are accomplishing and what they're doing for this sport, the more you'll see the intrigue from the audience. Things can only grow if you're marketing them in a favorable way. And then the other recommendation on there was hold the men's and women's Final Fours together in the same city. I definitely think that would be probably the biggest difference in like helping advance the women's game. You put them in the same city, that gives people a chance to not only attend the men's tournament, but the women's tournament. And it'll bring that men's audience to the women and give them the opportunity to showcase how great and entertaining they can be as well. I am hoping that this upcoming season or the seasons to come, we see these changes for the women, because I know that the Pac-12 tournament, I mean the Pac-12 women's basketball teams are very entertaining, very good. They work hard. Arizona put on a show this year. Oregon put on show. UCLA is always great. Stanford women who won the tournament. Like, you have to give these women the credit. And let's not be blind to the fact that two Pac-12 teams made it to the final. It was Stanford against Arizona. So I definitely want to see these women get the just due that they deserve. And I'm hoping that NCAA will make the changes that they need to make to provide equity for the women. Coming up next, we are going to discuss some Pac-12 at the Olympics updates. So much to talk about. And guess what? The women are dominating in Tokyo. So unless you've been living under a rock, you know the Tokyo Olympics are underway full force. So many events have happened so far. We've seen so many gold medals, silver medals, bronze medals coming to the USA. Also, Pac-12 representation is huge right now in the Tokyo. I think I saw a tweet just days ago saying that when it comes to the medal count for Pac-12 alone, they would come in third if they were a country. So, like, that's amazing in itself, just saying how big of a, you know, this conference is represented in Tokyo. One of the more recent gold medals earned is from the U.S. beach volleyball pair of April Ross and Alex Kleinman. April Ross is a USC alum and Alex Kleinman is a Stanford alum. They're known as the A-team. So it's so exciting to see that they won gold, because April Ross, this is her third Olympics and it's her first gold medal. She paired up with Kerry Walsh Jennings, who is a Stanford alum, in Rio, and they won bronze. And then she won a silver with Jennifer Kessie, who is a former USC alum, in London. So she definitely had her eyes on the prize with this one, ready to, you know, capture that Olympic gold, and she got it. She's now the oldest player to win gold in the U.S. outdoor, U.S. beach volleyball event at age 39. So that's huge. Some other things happening in the, like, I guess to look forward to is that Jenna Prandini, oh, not to look forward to, sorry, to recap. Jenna Prandini helped the U.S. women's 4x1 relay team take silver. English Gardner claimed a medal after running in the prelims. So both Oregon Ducks, they're kind of around my time. They were running in at Oregon around the time that I was still at Washington State. Great athletes, great runners. Great to see that they were able to be a part of that 4x1 team and earn some, you know, some a medal and some accolades for the USA and themselves as well. The U.S. men's water polo team took fifth after beating Italy. So 10 of the 13 members on that team are current or former athletes from Pac-12 schools, including Cal, Stanford, UCLA, and USC. So shout out to all the California schools. That's huge. Then there's also the USA men's basketball team who will play in the gold medal game today, probably like in another hour or so if you're listening to this, but I'm recording this on Friday. It's like happening now. So the game is today, and that features obviously Zach LaVine from UCLA and Drew Holiday from UCLA. Drew is on a run. Like, how great is that to win an NBA championship and turn around and go to the Olympics to bring home gold? So he's got to bring home gold so that he can match up to his wife, Lauren, because, you know, that's a competitive household right there. As far as the medal count goes, the USA is currently at a total of 98 medals. They have 31 gold, 36 silver, and 31 bronze. But then the Pac-12 has a total of 77 medals, and they're 14 gold, 32 silver, and 31 bronze. So that's huge. We've been seeing some amazing performances from Pac-12 athletes on the track and field stage alone. I can think off the top of my head, Dalila Muhammad, who is a USC alum, came in second in that 400 meter hurdles race. She won silver. She was actually the defending champ from last Olympic Games in Rio. She won gold. But honestly, it was an amazing race if you watched it. She came in second to Sydney McLaughlin, who both of them broke the record that Sydney McLaughlin had ran in the trials, I believe. So it was a crazy race, super fast, super proud of all of them. Another person who was in that race, and I'll say this, it's huge to make an Olympic final whether you medal or not. So shout out to Jonna Woodruff, who competed at UW. She is a UW alum, and she's currently getting her master's at SC. She ran for Panama and just literally made history herself. She got a personal best running in that race. And so I'm just super excited to see all of, you know, I'll say all of the representation from Pac-12. We had Allison Felix running earlier in that 400-meter race who, you know, this is her fifth Olympic Games, and she medaled for that bronze. She is now considered one of the most decorated athletes when it comes to the Olympic medals. Listen, if you ever played a sport or just have grown up enjoying the Olympics, and then as a Pac-12 fan as well, or a Pac-12 former athlete or student, whatever the case may be, whatever your ties are to Pac-12 or your interest, you understand how great it is to see these athletes on this stage and just seeing them, you know, represent the U.S., but also seeing like all their hard work throughout their life and up until this point in their career come together and, you know, be celebrated. So Olympics are continuing to go, continue to happen throughout. I'm trying to think how long they go. I don't have the exact time, exact date that it ends, but they're still underway, still things to look out for. Make sure you check that out. If you're into betting, like, you know, this is where you're going to want to listen. Betting on NFL, NBA, college football, whatever the case may be, does not have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. So get your daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. And then you can follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get podcasts. Follow the Locked On Pac-12 podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. And then follow along on Twitter at @LO_Pac12_Cindy Robinson. Other than that, make sure you stay locked on the Pac-12 on the Locked On Network.